I ask myself a question today. How much money do I need to earn to really show my wife that I love her? Is it about whether or not I get a new car? Is it a new pair of jeans? What do I need to do for my son? Do I need to get paid more at work? Do I need to work an extra hour on Saturday instead of taking him to the park to really show him how much I love him?
Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu.
Well, if you have not downloaded Tim McGraw, Live Like You Are Dying, on iTunes yet, our theme song for the month. Next week, Patrick, our 16-year-old on our worship team, is going to be singing it, so don't miss next week. It is going to be awesome. But Live Like You Are Dying, our theme verse for the month, Psalm chapter 39, verse 4 and 5. If you have your notes in the bulletin, all the scripture is in the notes, so you can follow along on the notes or on the screens or with your Bible. Psalm chapter 39, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. I want us to pray that first line together as a church. Lord, say it with me. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth is. You know, life is fleeting. Life is brief. It is a moment. It is a vapor. It is a mist. It is here today and then gone tomorrow. See, the goal of this series is to help people truly engage in the moment they have, to truly understand and realize that every moment you have is a gift of God. Every moment is precious. Don't waste it. Value every single opportunity God has given you as precious. You know, I want to see people engage as better husbands, better wives, better parents, just better people, better in their relationship with God, understanding how fleeting time is, how brief our life is. And the question I want to ask today is, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? What values, what do you value most in your life? What is most precious to you? What do you cherish? Because what you cherish is your treasure in life. Is your treasure in earthly things and material things? Is your treasure in houses and cars and clothing? Or is your treasure on the eternal? Is your treasure in heaven, in the kingdom? Where is your treasure? We're going to be studying Matthew chapter 6 this morning, and Jesus said it like this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, he said, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal them. Don't store your treasure in things on earth. Don't value, don't treasure stuff that is going to perish on earth. How many of you have ever been to a funeral and when the hearse pulled out, they had a U-Haul trailer attached to the back of it? I mean, it doesn't happen. You're not going to bring it with you. You know, there was a guy and he got all of his money together because he was close to the end. He put it in a briefcase and he told his wife, I'm putting this in the attic so when I die and I go up to heaven, I'll grab my briefcase on the way. And the guy passed away. So his wife ran upstairs to see if he got his briefcase, and there it was, sitting in the attic. And she said, I knew he should have put it in the basement. You know, it doesn't matter whether you go up or whether you go down. You're not taking it with you. It's not going with you. Jesus goes on to say, store your treasures in heaven. Treasure that which is eternal. Treasure that which is found in heaven, where moss and rust cannot destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your heart will follow your treasure. What do you treasure? Well, what is treasure? The Greek word of treasure is thesaurus. Thesaurus, it is a deposit. It's a deposit of your wealth, of your best. What is the best part of your life? Where are you investing the very best part of your life? Where is your treasure? Where is your time, your energy, your finance? Where are you investing? Where are you depositing the very best of who you are? Because treasure is not things. Treasure is what you value. What do you value? Where do you put your best? See, I'll tell you, if we looked at the last 7 days of your life, looked at your calendar, looked at your checkbook, we'll discover where your treasure is. We'll discover what you value most if we look. Look at the last 7 days. Just review it in your mind quickly. Did you put more of your energy into things that will fade away on earth, or did you put more of your energy into things of heaven? Where was your treasure? Where was your passion? Where was your focus? Where was your energy? Where did you invest your money? That'll tell you. See, there's a test on your notes. You can click, my treasure is on earth, or my treasure is on heaven. You've got to make that evaluation about yourself. Think about this. I mean, if you want proof of it, if you continue to buy things that you cannot afford with money you do not have, the American way, it's clear and simple where your treasure is, what you're valuing. Think about it just for a second. Where is your treasure? What do you value? Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 6, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about stuff. Don't worry about these material things. Your heavenly Father knows all of your needs. He knows that you need a car. He knows that you need a house. He knows that you need clothes. He knows about all your things, all the stuff that you need for your life. Don't worry about it. We spend so much time worrying about stuff, worrying about material things. Then Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. What is he saying? He's saying, seek first what will last forever. Don't seek first what will fade away on earth. Seek first the thing that will last forever. Jesus is not saying that things are bad and things are evil and you shouldn't have material possessions. He's not saying that. He's just saying, don't seek them first. Don't treasure those things. See, the reality is if you get your dream car, you're going to be tired of it 6 months later. If that's your treasure, if your treasure is on earthly things, you're always going to get tired of what you have. But if you treasure the right things, you'll never get tired of it. And guess what? If you treasure the right things in your life, you'll enjoy the material things a whole lot more. See, if your treasure is in that car, you'll get tired of it. But if your treasure is in heaven, you'll love that car. You'll enjoy that car because you'll recognize where you got it. You'll be able to praise God for the new car and really recognize it. But if you treasure it, and this is so easy. I mean, I was studying this morning and in my notes, and I was sitting on the beach and reading my notes, and all of a sudden a Harley drove by, and and I'm trying to pull myself back. I mean, because ever since I sold my bike, I've wanted a new one. And every time I see one, there's not a whole lot of things in life that I treasure. I mean, I don't really want, there's no real car that I want. But every time I see a Harley, it's just like, it's just so easy to do. See, it's not wrong to have things. It's just wrong to seek them first. It's wrong to treasure them. It's wrong to consider things precious. Because wherever your treasure is, wherever your focus, your energy, your passion, whatever you cherish, there your heart will be found also. You know, this month we're listening to different stories and watching different stories of people who, barring a miracle, have a very limited time to live. And this morning I want to introduce you to a guy named Larry who was really like a lot of us. He was a young guy, married, kids, had his whole life in front of him. And he developed the disease ALS and Lou Gehrig's disease. And I want you to watch his story. And I know it's a little bit difficult to understand his speech because of the stages of the disease in his life. But I really want you to listen and focus because I think he has a message that can really speak to many of us here this morning.
And then in February and March of 2005, I was diagnosed with ALS, and literally August, or that time you could say, is one life. And then since I was diagnosed with ALS, is a completely different life. My dreams before I got sick with ALS included, being able to provide for my family, walking my daughters down the aisle, seeing my kids grow up, owning a fancy Mustang. I had some material dreams. Since January of 07, I've lost the ability to feed myself, clothe myself, bathe myself. You really can't say, you know what, this day I lost this or this day I lost, because it's kind of gradual. You lose it and then you can try to do it, but then one day you just wake up and your body won't allow you to do that. So I'm pretty much considered a quadriplegic now. I'm completely dependent on everybody for everything.
You know, we're going to listen to more of Larry's story later, and if it doesn't impact you, there's really just something wrong with you. I mean, to really hear his story and hear from a man that knows he has a very limited time to live. And, you know, when I watched these videos, and it was a very long interview, and as you watch it, you know, I sit there and I pray, God, burn this into me. Give me this perspective. Let me keep focused on the eternal, the things that really matter. And if you're like me, we walk away and 10 minutes later, we just completely lose focus and we're getting bothered by something that just really doesn't matter. So how do I keep this eternal perspective? How do I keep this focus in my life on what truly matters? And so as I began to prepare this series, and we started this series, 30 Days to Live, I made three promises to myself and three really commitments to myself, things that I am committing to do with my life. And I want to share those commitments because I believe these are commitments that we should all consider making with our life. Number one, if you're following in your notes, I will guard against materialism. I will protect myself. I will fight against materialism in my life. This is one of Jesus' strongest points in Scripture. Look at Luke chapter 12 with me, how strong Jesus is about this. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he said, beware! Beware! Exclamation point in the Greek. He was emphatic as he could possibly be. This isn't just some soft warning. He's saying, beware! Guard against every kind of greed in your life. Life is not measured by how much you own. Jesus is saying, listen, you cannot measure your life by how much you own, by how much stuff that you have, by the new houses and new cars and new boats and new clothing and new purses. You don't measure your life by stuff. But isn't that the American dream? You know, we start out and we get married and we get our little apartment and then we work really hard and we hope to, you know, one day upgrade into the townhome or into the little patio home. And then if we work really hard, one day we'll get the dream home. And when we get that dream home, then life will finally matter. Then I'll finally feel good about, I'll finally feel comfortable. I'll finally feel, it's the when, then. And see, that's the American dream. We fight so hard. And I've got to watch this because I'm a regular guy. I mean, I'm just like most of you. I mean, I really want to provide nice things for my family. I really want my family to be blessed and to be able to provide them a good life and a quality life. But the problem is, I can get so focused on providing them a great life that I can miss the one thing they need most, which is me. See, I can actually neglect them trying to provide for them when the greatest gift I can give my family is me. To be fully there, to be present, to be, you know, and it's so easy to do. We lose focus. We want to be a blessing. We want to work hard. And listen, one of the dangers of this series is you can use it as an excuse for laziness. You can say, okay, you know, he said I shouldn't worry about work and I should. No, you need to work your appropriate amount of time. But we all know the difference between work and workaholic. There's a big difference between work and workaholic. Work is healthy. Work is godly. Work is biblical. But there's a big difference in life between success and significance. See, oftentimes, if you're after success, you're paying a price God has not asked you to pay. But if you're after significance, it's not your work, it's God's work. So I tell people all the time, if you can't take a day off, you don't trust God. Because you're telling God, I can't trust you with my career. I can't trust you with my well-being. I can't trust you. I need to work those extra hours because you need me to work those extra hours to provide for me. You need my help in providing for me, God. And that's what happens. is there's a big difference between work and workaholic. So don't neglect. And Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 12 about a rich man. And this rich man, he says to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all of my stuff. I've got so much stuff. I don't got room. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my house and I'm going to build a bigger house. A house that is so big it can finally contain all of the stuff that I've collected, all of my possessions, all of my wealth. And I got this massive house now with all of my stuff. And then the rich man says, then I'll finally be satisfied. And I'll sit back and say, now I can enjoy life. I can relax and be merry and throw parties. And what does God say to him in verse 17? But God said to him, you fool. You fool. You will die this very night. Then who's going to get everything you work so hard for? Who's going to get it all now? You're going to die this night, you fool. And he goes on to say, yes, a person is a fool who stores up earthly wealth but does not have a rich relationship with God. Your bank account doesn't make you rich. Your relationship with God makes you rich. You can have all the money in the world and still be poor if you don't have a rich relationship with God. See, right here, Jesus is not against wealth. He's not saying it was bad for the guy to be wealthy. He was saying you're a fool if you trust in your wealth and don't have a rich relationship with God. Because if you have a rich relationship with God, the wealth means so much more. It's so much more enjoyable. It's so much more fulfilling to be wealthy if you have first a rich relationship with God. So don't neglect your rich relationship with God trying to build earthly wealth, is what Jesus is trying to say here. Be rich in what matters most, because if you really have 30 days to live, many of the things we're pursuing right now really don't matter all that much. It's really not that. If we really had 30 days to live, it doesn't, I mean, we get angry at the stupidest things. I mean, I'll be driving down the road and all of a sudden someone cuts me off and I'm freaking out. I mean, I'm wanting to go crazy on the highway. Doesn't really matter. And Jesus is saying there's nothing wrong with things as long as you make sure you're right, you're seeking the right things first. So the first thing I'm committing to myself is that I'm going to guard myself against materialism. There's nothing wrong with material things. There's just something wrong with seeking them first. There's just something wrong with having material things and not having a rich relationship with God. That's what matters most. Second commitment I'm making to myself is I will be generous. I will be generous. I'll be extravagantly generous, aggressively generous. I will look for ways to be generous with my time, with my words, with my speech, with my actions, with my money, with my life. I will be generous. Isaiah 32 verse 8 says, but generous people plan to do what is generous. They have a strategy. They don't leave it to happen. They don't leave it to chance. Generous people actually plan out their generosity. They strategize it. They make a plan on how they can be more generous. They look at their annual budget and they actually plan out in their annual budget areas and ways that they can be more generous with what God has given them, planning out their calendar, planning out their time, planning out their checkbook. They actually strategize ways. How can I be more generous? Because if you really had 30 days to live, you wouldn't be holding on to so much stuff. You'd be trying to let go. I mean, I've never seen somebody on their deathbed trying to save up as much as they could. Trying to see if I can only get a few more things before I go. No, they're trying to give it away. They're giving away their wisdom. They're giving away their love. They're giving away their prayers. They're giving away their time. They're giving because you cannot love without giving. What does love do? Love gives. You cannot love without giving. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He loved, so he gave. Those of you that are parents, do you like withholding from your kids or do you like giving to them? I mean, it's so enjoyable to give to your children because you love them. You want to give them. You want to bless them. You know, one of the funniest things for me as a pastor is to hear people say, I just don't get churches. All they do is talk about giving. Yes! That's it. You got it. Because love gives the, when you truly understand what Jesus Christ did for you, the only reasonable response is to give. Give our lives, give everything, surrender ourselves on the altar, give our time, give our energy, give our focus, give our passion, give our talent, give our money, give our resources. We give. I mean, seriously, do you think it's ours anyway? I mean, we're not going to take it with us. We give our lives. It's the only reason. And let me just say this bluntly. If you have a problem with that, you've got a real problem in your heart. A real problem in your heart. Because if you don't give to God, you don't love God. Plain and simple. And don't tell me you do, because you do not love God if you do not. You cannot love and not give. Love gives. Love gives. Jesus tells a story in Matthew chapter 23. And if you want to know what's one of the greatest ways I can give to God, Matthew, 25. I know in your notes it says 23, but I messed that up. Matthew 25, Jesus talks about one of the greatest ways you can give to God. He separates all the people on the left and the right, like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And then he begins to address the crowd. He begins to address those on his right, those that he knew, because he separated them from the ones he knew, from the ones he didn't know. And he begins to speak to the ones he knows. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. You fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. You gave me. You gave me. You gave me." And the people said, "Jesus, come on. I don't remember giving you a drink. I don't remember giving you any. I helped a lot of people in my life, Jesus. You know, I gave to a lot of people in my life, but I would have known if it was you. I mean, I'm pretty sure I would have known if it was you. You know, I fed people, you know, that were homeless. I fed people who were in need. I, you know, fed people in times of hurting. But Jesus, I would have recognized you. I mean, I would have seen the scars. I would have known it was you, Jesus." And what did Jesus say to him in verse 40? He says, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." See, one of the greatest ways to give to God is giving to those in need, giving to his children, giving to those that he loves most. When you give to the hungry, when you give to the hurting, when you give to the poor, that's how we give to the Lord. See, how would your life be different today if you truly recognize how brief it is, how little your time is? See, when your treasure is in heaven, it's a lot easier to let go of more of the stuff on earth. See, when you treasure heaven, when you put your treasure in heaven, it's so much easier to let go of the stuff on earth. Because you realize you're not, it doesn't matter. It's not going to help you. Have a rich relationship with God. Help me not be materialistic. Help me be generous. And the last thing I want to talk about this morning is I will focus on what matters. I will focus on what matters. That's what I was talking about a little while. I mean, I get cut off in traffic and, you know, I'm checking in for a flight and they move my seat and I'm going crazy. I mean, I get so frustrated over the stupidest things. My phone drops a call and I'm like, you know, stock market drops, something bad. I mean, it's just like we get so frustrated and so bothered and so annoyed by so many stupid things in our life that don't really matter. And we spend our time getting upset and getting angry and getting frustrated, getting worried about the stupid things that we never truly enjoy the precious moments that we have. What really matters in life? Your family? Your spouse? Knowing God? Having an intimate relationship with God? See, one of the things that I encourage you to practice to do is every time you start getting frustrated and annoyed, ask yourself this question. 100 years from now, does this really matter? I mean, 100 years from now, is this thing I'm getting all bent out of shape about, is it really going to matter in 100 years? And that'll help you gain perspective, because some things do matter. There are things that absolutely matter. Loved ones. You know, being with God, things that really, but there's a lot of things that really don't matter. Apostle Paul in prison, knowing Now, I have a feeling he probably knew he had a very limited time left to live. He's sitting in prison. He knows there's a death penalty coming. And Paul gives a message in the book of Philippians in chapter 3. And I believe Paul shares some scripture. I believe if Paul felt like he had 30 days to live, this would be his message. This would be the points that he's trying to get across if he knew he really had a limited time to live. Because I believe he did know. In Philippians 3, verse 7, Paul says, I once thought these things were valuable. What things? Stuff. Stuff. Just stuff. Whatever your stuff is, stuff. He said, I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He goes on to say, for his sake, I have discarded all of this stuff. I've gotten rid of all of this stuff, everything else, counting it all garbage so that I could gain Christ. It's all garbage. Now, the Greek word for garbage there is skubalon, and garbage doesn't quite capture the essence, but there's no Bible translator in the world that would put the real word in the Bible. Because it is the most graphic form of garbage. The King James gets it best as dung. Dung, just the discard. You know, like if there was bumper stickers back then, it would say, Skubalon happens. I mean, that's what Paul is saying. I'm not trying to be, you know, offensive, but I'm trying to tell you what the original Greek was trying to communicate, but no translator is going to put it in there. Paul saying it's all garbage compared to knowing him. See, may your treasure not be in this world, but in what lasts forever. Now, I want to hear from Larry one more time this morning, and I really want you to open your heart to hear a message from a man who knows he has very little time left.
For the next 30 days, I would want my spiritual life to be one that people can look upon and say, there is somebody who believed God, believed that he knew God was doing what was best for him. There is somebody whose family knows they're loved because not only because I love them, but because God loves them, because I have shown them how to love and how to love God. And I hope that people can see that when they meet me. Since I was diagnosed, I had a lot of regrets. There are times where I felt like, oh, I know, like I could have been a better husband. Instead, I was a very selfish person. I regret being, you know, always thinking of myself first, instead of my wife and my kids sometimes. When it came to work, there's no job. If I were to get healthy today, there's no job, no amount of money that would keep me from my family like I used to stay away. There's no sporting event that would keep me away from my family. That's probably my biggest regret. You know, Maureen, I don't think there is anything that I haven't already told you. I love you. I know you love me. My biggest regret is that this illness has caused a lot of emotional pain for you, but I do know that we have grown as a couple. And I love you. And then I hope one day, even after I'm gone, you can find somebody who loves you as much as I do now. And yes, you can use this.
Lord, remind me how brief my time is. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Where is your treasure? Is your treasure in what's going to last forever? Every moment we have is a gift. Every second you spend with your children is a gift from God. Every moment you get with your wife is a gift. Your husband is a gift. Every chance you get to read the Bible and pray is a gift. Where is your treasure this morning? God said to treasure him, you have to seek him first. And to seek him first, there's only one route, and that's Jesus Christ, his son. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if you need to put God first in your life, this morning you need to make a decision to seek first what will last forever, to put God first, to make God the priority of your life, to treasure what truly matters most. And that's a loving father that allowed his very best, his son, to be sacrificed and killed, to shed his blood, to give you an opportunity. God exchanged his son's life to give you a life. He gave his son for you. Gave his very best for you. How can we not give him our very best? How can we not give him our all? So I want to ask you, if you've never put God first in your life, you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to put God first, to really put him first. Because your time is not guaranteed. You may not get another moment. You may not get another opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ. I don't want to use scare tactics, but the Bible clearly says everyone will get a chance to hear the gospel once. There's no guarantee you're ever going to hear it twice. You have this moment. If you need to make a decision to put God first in your life today, with every eye closed, every head bowed, nobody looking around, I want this to be a moment between you and God, and I want a chance to pray for you. If that's you this morning, you need to make, you've never made this decision before, you're not, God's not first in your life right now, and you need to put him first, I want you to raise your hand where I can see you right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to lead you in a very simple process of putting God first in your life. The first step is just accepting him, just welcoming him into your life, inviting him to come and live in your life. That's the first step. So what I want you to do right now is I want you in your own words, whether you want to do it out loud, whether you want to do it to yourself, I want you in your own words just to invite God, invite Jesus Christ to take over your life. Say, God, I invite you to take control of my life. I invite you to take first place in my life. Just say that right now to God. Just invite him into your life right now. The second part is just asking him to forgive you. We've all made mistakes. We've all messed up. We've all fallen short. I'm no different. We've all checked into the same hospital. Some of us just got there a little bit earlier. We all need God's forgiveness. We've all done something that needs to be forgiven. So right now, just ask God to forgive you. Say, God, forgive me for my mistakes. Forgive me for the areas that I've messed up. Forgive me for the sin. Forgive me for the times I failed you. I failed myself. I failed people around me. Just right now, take a moment and ask God to forgive. And then the last part of it is just thank Him. Just say thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving your life in exchange for my life. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. Thank you for wanting to know me. Thank you that you, the God of the universe, wants to have a relationship with me. Just right now, say thank you to Him.